Our scripture this morning will be taken from the Old Testament book of Joshua. We'll begin reading at the 24th chapter. We'll read from verses 1 through 3a, the first part of verse 3, and then we'll skip to verse 14 and continue our text from there. And this is what it says in Joshua 24, verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all of the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And that is the word of God for the people of God. I would like for us this day to consider the theme for that text, which is drawn lines in the sands of faith. Drawn lines in the sands of faith. Now, we all like to be flexible. There are certain things we like to believe that we allow a certain amount of wiggle room for beliefs and opinions, even when they aren't ours. And if we're honest, there are certain things where flexibility has been the rule more than the exception. I mean, when we're hungry, sometimes we don't care whether we eat chicken or meatloaf for dinner as long as we eat dinner. That allows for a certain flexibility in our lives. And yet in our personal lives and in the life of the church, we have to admit there are some things where we have no freedom to exhibit such flexibility. And it's not because flexibility is such a bad thing. It's because there are some things, some faith issues, beliefs, and principles where we have to draw the line. And drawing the line isn't such a bad thing. When we believe in something that forms the basis for how we will honor our God and run the affairs of our faith, it's a good thing. Sometimes we have to draw the line in the sand of our faith, an immovable line that points to loyalty to God and no other. Now, we've talked about loopholes before, how they're designed to free us from the stringent rules that life sometimes imposes on our world, rules that we feel cramp our style. So when we're driving down the road and that posted speed limit is 55, we want to know just how much wiggle room we have. We want to know whether we can go 5 over, 7 over, or 10 over the speed limit before we get that ticket. And the same wiggle room we look for when driving, we look for in our relationship with God. We want to know just how much wiggle room we have when it comes to being loyal. Just how many other gods can we have in our lives? In other words, just how loyal do we have to be to God before we violate our faith? This story of Joshua tells a story that is designed to lead us to answer that question for ourselves. The question, though, isn't how much wiggle room we have in our faith. The question is, do we draw the line at loyalty to God, or do we willingly allow other gods into our lives and serve them? In this story, Joshua gathers all of the tribes of Israel to the Canaanite city of Shechem. This city was not ruled by the Israelites. It was a place where, after 40 years of wanderings and wars, of fightings without and fears within, they could actually rest and gather themselves. At this point, Joshua begins to review for his people their history. He reminds them that although they are in the city where the Canaanite God of covenants is revered, their God made a covenant with Abraham. But he doesn't stop there. He reminds them of God's covenant with Abraham. And he reminds them also that their history of keeping their covenant with God is highly suspect. He reminds them that they too have a history of serving gods other than the God of Abraham. He reminds them of God's faithfulness and then urges them to remain faithful to their God. He admonishes them, urging and encouraging them, saying, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord." Sounds simple enough. For Joshua, it doesn't matter how many other gods they are surrounded by. They have a responsibility to honor and revere the God who set them free. They must do what God requires of them, to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But Joshua is no dummy. He's seen them act foolish on more than one occasion. And so Joshua asked them to make a decision, to draw a line in the sand of their faith, a line of loyalty and commitment to God, a line from which there is no wiggle room for other gods to be worshiped. For Joshua, it's not just about saying yes and nodding yes, but then going off to do something different. Joshua admonishes God's people to exert God's gift of freedom for them to choose, but at the same time tells them that he has already drawn his line in the sand of his faith. He says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The decision for him and his house is the foundation of his faith and loyalty to God. It is much as says that this is a line for which there is no negotiation. That the people say yes doesn't remove the fact that Joshua knows their history. Joshua has seen them do the dance of self-indulgence and self-deceit, where they'd say they were going to do one thing and do something altogether different. Well, it's no surprise that today we hear that and think that what Joshua is saying can't really be true in our day and age. But in truth, we've allowed all the gods of our culture to enter into our lives and we worship them. Each week, we observe people worshiping the gods of their choice. All that's necessary is to watch any athletic event, and you'll see people dressed in outrageous costumes, painting their faces the color of their favorite team, shouting and cheering at every conquest. People have gone to great extremes to build huge temples for these fans to worship in. We call them stadiums and arenas. But they will worship the god of their favorite team. a clear reminder of how we transition so easily from worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to worshiping other gods of stage and screen was revealed when Taylor Swift announced her proposed tour. Fans went gaga over the announcement and their inability to get tickets. And yes, equating football fans as fanatics and stadiums as temples of worship and stars of stage and screen as other gods evokes a certain amusement in us. But as the NFL Super Bowl gets closer, people have already drawn lines in the sands of their faith as to which team will be their god. And while it may be true that you may not be positioned in front of the electronic god called the television on that Super Bowl Sunday, you may be worshiping one of the other technical gods of our culture, texting a friend, surfing on the internet, spending time on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any number of other gods. All of these gods of our culture have imposed themselves in our lives and interfered with our faithfulness and loyalty to our God. And if what Joshua said is true, there may even be some old gods that our parents and ancestors worshiped, gods that we continue to worship out of loyalty and allegiance to a particular ideology that just may be interfering with our faithfulness to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We may even find that we have a greater loyalty to some of our friends than we do to the God of all creation. And so the opportunity for us today is the same as it was for those in Joshua's day, and his words are just as clear. Choose this day whom you will serve. And the decision we have to make is the same today as it was then. Where will we draw the lines of loyalty in the sands of faith? Will it be to the God who set us free, or will we worship other gods? And yet, that is the decision that has to be made for every person and culture. Joshua's encounter with his people came about primarily because he heard what they were saying, but he couldn't see evidence of their loyalty to God in their lives. They talked about having one God until another God or goddess came along, and then suddenly they were off to the races after this other God. And we aren't in any less danger around what we say we believe and what we really believe in practice. Somewhere the lines drawn in the sand of faith have left people confused about which side of the line they're on. And that represents the greatest danger to the community of faith and our integrity as people of God. It's a line of faith that has a particular connection to the United Methodist Church, as the denomination fractures with each faction drawing a line in the sand of their faith. The decision to live in loyalty to God and follow what we say we believe and draw our lines in the sands of faith around our loyalty to God gives integrity to who we say we are. It is an invitation to spiritual health and well-being. The other choices leave us a veritable hodgepodge of disastrous options. When our loyalty has so much wiggle room in it and becomes so flexible as to allow anything, even beliefs and practices that contradict what God actually says, it opens the door for other gods and goddesses, other words besides God's word, to infect the healthy life of the community. It invites those situations into the life of our community, where we say one thing as a bona fide belief system and then end up hung by the tongue. And you know what I mean, friends. I'm talking about those times when we open our mouth and insert our foot because what we said isn't what we meant, and what we did isn't what we said we'd do. It ends up with an invitation to division and derision in the community and separation from God. You see, my friends, worshiping other gods is a learned behavior. We learn to worship other gods as well as we learn other things from our ancestors, those who live around us and model behavior for us. The thing about it is that we don't often see ourselves in the light of truth. Amid all of the warnings that culture tells us, we learn most from those around us, and it's by what they say and what they do that makes us who we are. That's why Joshua began this story by saying, long ago, your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates serving other gods. It wasn't that worshiping other gods was a new thing. It was a part of who they were, but it was before God's promise to Abraham. Their history and their loyalty was learned by watching our ancestors, friends, and relatives. We've learned to worship other gods in our culture. When we're driving in our cars, there are two gods that command our attention. One is the sign that displays the posted speed limit. The other is the speedometer in our car. We've learned that no matter how many times we're told to obey the posted speed limits, we find that the god of our speedometer is the one we'll worship, because we've watched the people we've ridden in the car with ignore the posted speed limit. The drivers around us ignore the speed limit, and those who do obey the speed limit, we look at with a certain scorn and discontent as we drive by them because they're holding up traffic. And there are other cultural gods that we worship that come from watching those who are around us. Gods that we worship as a learned part of our history from our ancestors, the gods of race and class and wealth and culture and politics and morality. And not all of the other gods are necessarily negative gods. Gods of loyalty to friends, clubs, groups, cliques, and organizations can cause just as much disloyalty to God as anything or anyone else. But it's a learned behavior. So our commitment should be a conscious decision to be loyal to our God. I mean, drawing the lines of loyalty in the sands of our faith shouldn't be something that we just say we'll do and then go and do something else. It should be a line that we've drawn with our minds and meditated on in our spirits. It should be a loyalty that we've embraced with our soul and believed in with our heart. After all, if our loyalty comes about because we've been worshiping other gods of history and tradition, it would only seem fitting that we consider how it will affect how we live and relate to one another in the life of our community. If our loyalty is to be biblically based, grounded in Scripture, then it would seem that we would give our spirit over to prayerful consideration of our faith. If our loyalty to God is to mean anything, then we must be willing to commit to our word and worship God and God alone. There are already too many examples of people who, like the little girl who stayed for dinner at the home of her first grade friend, say one thing and then do something else. And I'm sure you've heard the story. They were about to have dinner, and the vegetable that was going to be served was buttered broccoli, and the mother asked the little girl if she liked it. And the little girl replied very politely, "Oh, yes, I love it." But when the bowl of broccoli was passed, she declined to take any. So the mother said, "I thought you said you loved broccoli." And the little girl replied very sweetly, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I do, but not enough to eat it." While she may have in her mind committed to her love of buttered broccoli, clearly it was not a commitment she embraced with her heart, mind, soul, and strength. In fact, she had a greater resolve not to eat buttered broccoli than she had to eat it. So while her resolve came out of a conscious decision, it seems that her decision was misleading about her established loyalty and commitment. She had drawn a line in the sand of her dietary preference that would allow her to love buttered broccoli, yet not eat it. And believe it or not, my friends, that gets us into trouble more than anything. And so we draw lines in the sands of our faith by our loyalty to God in order to establish our community. We draw lines in the sands of faith by our loyalty to God in order to give integrity to our faith and who we say we are. So let's continue to draw lines of sands in the sands of our faith. If we are to live as a community of faithful people, we must draw lines in the sand with regard to our covenant with God and each other. Let's continue to state what we value as a community of God's people. Let's continue to affirm to each other that we value Christian charity, that we value generosity, that we value fellowship and hospitality. Let's continue to lift up the principles of Christian service and confidentiality in our giving. Let's continue to value the principle of teaching disciples. For God's people is how we begin our spiritual life, with the primary value of faith. We begin with the strongly held principle to have no other gods before Yahweh and no other Savior but Jesus Christ. To that, we add all of our others. But let's not stop there. Let's continue to search the scriptures for values like love and integrity. Let's continue to search God's word for the values of grace and forgiveness, for inclusiveness and thankfulness. Let's continue to add those values that form the foundation of our faith until our church represents the body of Christ, resurrected and living among God's people on earth, faithfully committed and loyal to our God. And that is the word of God for the people of God this day.